because there is this sense that patients disappear, that everything must be okay because you haven't heard from them, and thus all is okay. But in reality, in a lot of conditions, not just in cancer, those assumptions are not valid. UNC and many other institutions have tried to have that dialogue with, UNC has with Epic, something called My Chart, My UNC Chart. Why doesn't that work? Or does it work to a certain extent, or does it really only work in certain populations?
Yeah, it does work to a certain extent. So My Chart is essentially a patient-facing part of the electronic health record system. So we all, as physicians and nurses, use an electronic health record system to keep track of information about patients. And there's a component of that that allows patients to see their own laboratory reports, to make appointments, and to send messages. And these systems do have some rudimentary questionnaire functions, but they really are very rudimentary. And we know that unfortunately, the vast minority of patients actually sign up for these what are called patient portals. I think we're at the beginning. I think they're getting better, and they will become easier for patients. It will be important to meet patients where they live. For example, if I want to do a transaction for my bank account, I can do it through my phone, through the web, over the telephone. So we need that kind of flexibility to meet people where they live and how they live their lives. The research that I'm engaged with is essentially informing how patient portals like MyChart should work in the future so that we can reach more people and be more effective.
Especially in this era where everybody is on some sort of social media, even folks of my generation text and email, some Facebook, but it doesn't work as well with the medical profession. There is that translation of those tools to patient care seems to have lagged. Why?
Yeah.
It's a big industry. Why the lag?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, I think one important point from your statement is that people exchange information about how they're feeling all the time. They exchange information about the side effects from their medications. They exchange information about the symptoms of, you know, of their disease. And we miss that. We are not capturing that. It's a major loss because we could use that information to understand the effectiveness of drugs and other treatments. We could use that to help manage patients. We could use that information to understand quality of care. So it's a major missed opportunity. I think it's because in many ways, this aspect of medicine, like many aspects of medicine, don't start with the patient in mind. They start with the provider and the institution in mind. You know, we have built hospitals to the convenience of physicians, right? I have a schedule for my clinic, and patients must fit into my schedule. If patients want to reach me, they must call my office. And so we're not patient-centered.
Yeah, so the airline industry has completely revamped that. You can not only get a reservation online, you can pick your seat online. You can't do that in all places in the healthcare center. That's what you're suggesting, that a patient should, if they want to come to see you, have some sort of ease in getting an appointment, but even more importantly, an ease in actually being able to interact with you. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, I think that's right. And, you know, for example, the ATM is a nice example of this. You know, I remember as a child my father lining up on Friday at the bank, you know, and that was a great inconvenience and at the convenience of the bank. And, a simple change like an automatic teller and interoperability between banks really changed this dramatically. And I think we're seeing this more and more in healthcare. We're becoming more patient-centered. We're thinking about the patient's home context and how they live their lives and real-time and non-real-time means of communication. But we're really not there yet. And so, unfortunately, as we sit here today, you know, we both have patients who are out of sight and out of mind and may, in fact, be suffering. And that may have very substantial downstream consequences.
So for a patient, the ability to interact on their terms would be tremendously beneficial. It'd be also beneficial if there were some rudimentary kinds of measures that you could get in the home. You're working on some of those measures right now. One can imagine weight and blood pressure are physical characteristics that one could ask for. But your questionnaires are trying to, in a structured fashion, probe how the patient is feeling. Am I getting that right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So I run a research program that has been investigating this area for about 15 years now. We've developed multiple questionnaire systems, several for national organizations like the National Cancer Institute or the Maine Oncology Professional Society. We've developed technology platforms, but most of all, we have explored the different kinds of workflows, the ways to integrate these into people's lives, patients' lives, and the ways to integrate these into busy clinicians' lives. And we found a number of things. In the early research, we found that clinicians miss about half of the symptoms that their patients have. Simply
just
miss
half?
Them. Yeah, I know. Well, so for some things, it's more. Yeah. Well, your statement is telling. You know, I think we as clinicians actually recognize this. We know this is a problem. Much of the early work that I was involved with was actually around clinical research, really drug development in oncology. And that was because when we develop new drugs in oncology, they are often very toxic. They have a lot of serious side effects. And because of this phenomenon that we've been talking about, the missing of people's symptoms and missing their functional problems, when we have developed drugs, we have had these huge underestimates of the negative impact on people, so that when regulatory authorities like the FDA look at the profiles of these drugs or, say, devices that are coming through, we underestimate really the toxicities or the adverse events related to them. And so much of our work has actually been to improve drug development to get a better understanding of the patient experience. More recently, we've turned our attention to delivery of care and figuring out how to integrate this into how we take care of people every day.